happening among them. Come on, let's be ready. Let's decide that this is not just another sermon, that this is an opportunity for God to change something inside you, for God to actually do something life-changing, not because of necessarily anything that happens through the words that I speak, but because of what the Spirit of God does on the words that go out this morning, because of the atmosphere that's here, because that we're opening ourselves up for God to do something. So why don't you have a seat, and we're going to get into the Word this morning. So I've been loving being in this series, talking about a confident year, and that's certainly my heart. And our key verse, if you like, is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, where it says, Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Don't throw away your confidence. I want you this year to have a confident year. I believe that as a church that we're going to have a confident year. I believe that we're going to take confidence into 2011. As a church, that this year we're going to be going into this year with confident expectations. As a family, as a church family, we can go into this year with confident expectations. Your family, your own family can actually go in to 2011 with confident expectations. In your business, in your work life, in your school, whatever it is that you're involved in, you can go into it with confident expectations. Maybe last year wasn't like that at all. Maybe it was not a confident year. Maybe your confidence has had a bit of a battering. Don't stay in that place. Don't allow what has happened in the past to define your future. Don't allow the things that have actually shaped you to actually hold you in that place. We're all a product of our past. We're all a product of the things that have happened, and some things shape us in a positive way, and some things have got the ability to hold us back. But you see, God doesn't want you to actually live in that place. He doesn't want you to be a prisoner, if you like, of things that have happened in the past. He's got a fantastic future for you. He's got all sorts of amazing things ahead of you, and He wants you to step into that. So why don't you this morning, why don't we open our Bibles, and we're going to have a look at Psalm 57. But we want to see this year, we want to see confident relationships. Did you know so many people are not confident about their relationships? You know, sometimes you talk to somebody, and you know, a young guy, and he's just started a relationship with some girl, and you say, oh, you know, how's it, you know, what do you see, and how's it all going? You know, well, I don't know if I can make this commitment. I don't know if it's going to work out. You know, is that a confident relationship? You see, it's God wants you to have confident relationships. He wants you to be confident in your marriage. He doesn't ask us to go into marriage and actually put a disclaimer in our marriage, to death do us part, as long as she stays looking hot until she's 55, and then after that she's just got to get some plastic surgery or something like that. But it's not like that. It's Jeff's looking at Rosie. No, Rosie is absolutely beautiful, and God does not want that sort of relationship. He actually wants us to go into relationships with confidence. Whether it's a marriage, you go into that knowing that, hey, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to go on in my marriage. It's going to be hard. I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to adapt the way that I live. I'm going to have to be more understanding. I'm going to have to be able to love beyond myself. All sorts of things that'll happen. But God wants you to go into that marriage thinking that you're going to actually make it to the end. That you're actually going to get through your life, and you're going to have confidence that you're going to get to that place. We'll talk about some of those things more as the year goes on. But He also wants us to have a confident spirituality. A confident spirituality. In other words, sometimes we can be confident about all sorts of things, perhaps around the outside. We can be confident. I'm a little bit out of shape at the moment, but I'm quite confident that if I make a few right decisions and I start to ride my bike more, I run more, I go to the gym more, and some of those things, I am confident that I can get back into shape. I'm confident that I can actually work my physical stuff out. I'm confident that I can do a whole lot of things in that sense. And as Australians, we're often confident about those sort of things. But you talk to the average Australian and you say, are you confident about your spirituality? And they, what? My spiritual what? Your spirituality, you know, mate, you are a, you know, you've got this body that we all see, you've got this stuff that people talk about, but did you know that you're also spirit? And people are often not even confident to talk about that. You get in a pub and you start to bring some of those, you know, you're talking about sport and the conversation's going well, and you want to stop the conversation. You want it to go, you say, hey, mate, how's your spirituality? You know, it'd be like that VB ad, wouldn't it? You know, we could put up with him when he did this and this, but when he died, he put his clothes the same color as his beer, and they said, that's enough. We can't cope with that anymore. And I think it's like that sometimes, that we've got this culture where people will say, oh yeah, it's all right, but don't talk to me about my spirituality. Don't actually go to that sort of place. But I want us as a church, I want us as people in Hobart, I want us to have a confident spirituality, to know that we are confident about what actually goes on inside of us. And so we've got Psalm 57 and verse 7, it says this. It says, my heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident, no wonder I sing praises. And sometimes people talk to me often and they say, well, you know, in church life, why do we sing? Why do we do some of the things that we do? Why don't we just actually come in here and, you know, just get straight into the preaching, you know, get straight into the word, straight into the important stuff? And sometimes people say, well, I don't connect that well with worship. And I think sometimes as blokes particularly, we're a bit more that way. We're perhaps not quite as touchy-feely and not as in contact with the emotional side of us. But you see, a confident heart, a heart that's confident in who God is, says, no wonder I can praise you. In other words, if you want your ability to actually praise God to come to life, to engage in worship, a confident heart, a heart that's confident in God, will actually start to enable that. That word there, confidence, in that sense means to be firm, to be stable, to be established. You know, to have a confident year, we need to have an established heart, a heart that is established. And by your heart, I'm actually talking about your core. I'm talking about your values. I'm talking about your internal thoughts. I'm talking about your motives. If you like, I'm talking about your soul. That's the thing that is actually inside of you. And that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about your heart. And in Grant was talking about purposing in our heart this morning when we give. In other words, not just when we give, not just something that, oh yeah, we do flippantly, but something that we actually purpose in our heart. In other words, we make an intentional choice inside of us. And sometimes we can't actually make intentional choices because we're actually not very in touch with what's actually inside of us. We're not confident at a heart level. We're not confident in our core. Listen to this. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, it says, the Lord sees the things the way that you see them. In other words, I'll start that again. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now that was written when the old prophet Samuel had gone through an interesting phase in the time of Israel. He'd become very disillusioned with the king. The guy who was the king of Israel had sort of stuffed up really bad and had taken the country in a direction that wasn't particularly good at all. And God spoke to Samuel and he said, hey, you've mourned about that long enough. You've spent enough time being depressed about the things that haven't happened. He said, now is the time to get up and get going, and I'm going to show you who the next king of Israel is. So he gets going. And this is a word for somebody here this morning. I think there are people here and you've mourned long enough. There have been stuff that's happened in your world. There's been stuff that's gone on in the past. And I just hear this right now. God is saying that you've mourned long enough. You've mourned long enough. You can let it go. You can let it go right now, and you can choose this morning to say, oh, I've mourned long enough and I choose to put this behind me and let it go, because the Spirit of God is here right now and He's wanting to deal with some of those things. He's actually saying, you've mourned long enough. Today is a new day. And so Samuel gets up and he goes out and God showed him where to go. And he goes to this guy's house, and the guy was called Jesse. And Jesse brings all his sons out. Wouldn't that be amazing, you know? If you know, you've got a family here and there are people here. Has anybody got seven kids here? And Jesse gets all his boys together because this prophet was a revered man, and he turns up and it's like, I'm going to anoint one of these boys as the next king of Israel. You know, wow. And so he brings all his boys out, and they stand there, and you know, they're good, strong, strapping young lads, and they look like they're king material. They look like they've got the goods. And the first guy comes forward, and Samuel's thinking, this has got to be it. This is him. He's just got king written all over him. He's the man. He's got the goods. And you know, he steps forward, and God speaks to the prophet, and he says, nah, it's not him. It's not him. And Samuel's saying, it's got to be him. He looks like a king. He's the one. I can tell. I'm experienced in this. I've anointed one king already, and it didn't work out. And I know what I'm looking for this time. And God says, no. He says, you look at the outside. You look at the way people appear. But he says, I look at the heart. I look at what's going on inside them. I look at the core. I look at what's going on at a core level, and that's not what I'm after. I'm after something else. And many of you know the story, and it goes through, and he brings all his sons out, and they all step forward, and each time God says, no, Samuel, that's not the one. So he says, hey, have I made a mistake here? Am I hearing God right? Have you got any more sons? And they sort of say, well, yeah, we have, but there's this sort of young bloke. He's a bit different, you know. He sits out in the fields and he plays his guitar and he sings songs and he fights bears and he does all this weird stuff. He doesn't look like a king. And of course, they go and get him, and it's David. And straight away, the Spirit of God shows Samuel that this is the one, this is the man. And it was all about, with David, it was all about the heart. It was all about his heart. Why was he able to look a bear? Why was he able to look a lion in the eye when it was about to take one of his sheep, and he was able to deal with it? Because this guy was confident. He was confident not only in his physical abilities, but he was confident at a core level. He was confident at a heart level. He had confidence in God at a heart level, and that's what God was looking for. You know, the Bible says that God doesn't change. God says he is always the same. God continues to look inside, and he's looking for confident hearts. He's looking for us to be confident in him at a heart level, at a core level. And that's what he's looking for this morning. See, our society is obsessed with appearance, isn't it? I mean, people have always talked about that, and I guess it's always been like it, but more so, isn't it? In a world of media, in a world of where we can touch stuff up, in a world where our kids grow up with realities that are just so far from reality. When their stars are, when you know, their role models are girls that have been groomed from when they were six or seven to be some sort of media superstar, and it's so far detached from what reality is, and we're so obsessed with appearances. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking good. There's nothing wrong with taking care in your appearance. But you know what? If you want to be really attractive, hello, how are you? But if you want to be really, she's beautiful. If you want to be really attractive, let's not only look at what goes on the outside. Let's not only spend the time. I encourage you, go to the gym, do the stuff like that. But let's not only look at the outside. Let's look at actually what goes on the inside. Did you know? You know that you can actually have it all going on the outside. But real attractiveness actually comes from what goes on at the heart, what actually happens at a heart level. And so I encourage you to look at what goes on in the inside. Proverbs 14 verse 30 said, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Listen to this. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness is like a cancer that attacks you at the core. But it doesn't stop there. It's almost like, and I could give you example after example where this has happened, where somebody has been has been jealous, they've had unforgiveness, they've had bitterness that is actually going on inside them at a heart or a core level, and it actually doesn't stop there. It actually eventually starts to go through their body. And what goes on at a core level actually starts to affect their body because they're not healthy in the core, and that starts to affect their body. You see, jealousy, unforgiveness, bitterness, those things won't just rot you from the soul. Eventually, they will start to make you sick in the body because we're mind, body, spirit. The whole thing is so connected that we can't deal with one thing without the other. If you want to be attractive, if young people, if you're trying to find the right girl or the right guy, yeah, look after your body, look after your presentation, but make sure you've got a healthy core. Make sure you've got a healthy soul. Make sure there is something going on at that level. I've been enjoying watching the tennis. Who watched Bernard Tomic play last night? Bernard Tomic. He did a fantastic job against the world number one, against Rafael Nadal, who is just a brilliant, brilliant tennis player. And as I'm listening to the commentators, and I watch a little bit of tennis, so I'm sort of aware of certain things. Now, Rafael, or Rafa as they call him, has been coached since he was quite a young boy by his Uncle Tony. And you know, they show his team sitting up there in the box, and generally in Rafael's box is his father and his Uncle Tony, who's his coach, who's obviously been a very successful coach. But one of the things that Uncle Tony has always said to Rafa is he said, "We've got to stay humble. We've got to stay humble. We've got to not allow the pride of the success that we're actually feeling to affect who we are." And he continually talks to him about staying humble. And part of his success is the fact that he's hungry for success because he actually stays humble at a core level. You see, what his Uncle Tony is smart enough to know that he can actually do all the work, he can develop his game, he can do all the psychology, he can do all that stuff, but if something goes wrong at a core level, if something goes wrong inside that young guy, it will affect everything else he does and his game will fall to pieces. You see, if we want to be successful in life, we've got to actually have a healthy, confident heart. We've got to be healthy and confident at a core level. When that doesn't actually happen through fixing things around the peripheral or fixing things through the outside, sometimes we've got to make the big decisions and say, "I'm actually going to deal with this at a core, at a heart level," which is sometimes very tough to do, but that's where we've got to start. It's no use starting around the outside. So, having a confident heart or a confident core, how do we do that? How do we do that? Oh, I've seen people go through, you know, amazing stuff where you know, tragedy after tragedy seems to hit some people's lives and you think, wow, how do they survive? And some people, you know, they go through and they continue to have this sort of amazing attitude that actually draws people to them. And you think, how do they do that? I was watching a doco a while back, and you've probably seen it. There's an Australian guy, and he was born with essentially no legs. He's just got those little stumps like that. And he's changed at a core level because his confidence is actually in God. His confidence is who God has made him. And he's traveling all over the world, and he's speaking to people, and he's inspiring people. And they showed him, and he's driving a ski boat, and he's doing all these things. And he's, you know, the guy's got, I think he's got no legs, and little stumps of arms or something like that. It's just incredible. How does he stay like that? It's not about the outside. It's not about the shell. It's about what is actually going on at a core level. It's about what is going on in the heart. So how do we get that? How do we maintain a confident heart? How do we maintain confidence in the core? The disciples came to Jesus in Matthew 13. If you want to open your Bibles, we'll have a look at that. And they said to him, why do you talk in parables? Why do you tell stories all the time? Why don't you just get to the guts of it, Jesus, and stop telling all these stories and just give us the points. Just give us the dot points. Maybe, you know, if you can give us 5 points, we can write them down, or we can put them on our iPhones or whatever we like, and we've got the dot points there, and we don't have to worry about all these stories and all this stuff. And he answers them in Matthew 13, verse 11. Jesus answered, he said, "I have explained the secrets about the kingdom of heaven to you, but not to others. what he was saying basically was, you understand the kingdom, you have a revelation of the kingdom, your minds have been enlightened, but others haven't. So Jesus tells stories so that those that had not yet had their minds enlightened could actually understand the principles of the kingdom. So he speaks to them like that. And in Matthew 13 and verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, in other words, he's saying, anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and has not had a revelation of it yet, listen to this, it says, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. The evil one comes and snatches away what, where, what's he looking at? What's the enemy trying to snatch away? Is he trying to take your new BMW? He doesn't really care about that. Is he trying to take your new road bike? Is he trying to take some of those things? No, what he's wanting to do, he's wanting to snatch away a revelation of the kingdom that you have where? That you have in your heart. In other words, something that you have at a core level, something that you have inside you, something that you have got an enlightenment about, and it's a core value to you. It's part of your soul. It's part of who you are. That is what the enemy is going to want to snatch away. He's not particularly worried about your car or your house or those things. He's actually more worried about the values and the things that you carry at a core level, and he's extremely interested in snatching them away. You see, a kingdom revelation, a revelation of the kingdom that we have in our heart, that we have at a core level, will change everything. Because you know that the truth of the kingdom is eternal. In other words, it's truth that's always been there, it's truth that's here now, and it's truth that is never going to leave us. That is eternal. That's the truth of the kingdom. The Word of God is full of truth, and it's eternal truth. It's not going to change. But it's eternal stuff. But a kingdom revelation, in other words, getting a kingdom heart, is internal. It's actually something that happens inside of us. You see, I can stand here this morning speaking about all this stuff, but ultimately, to get a kingdom revelation, to get a kingdom heart, it's something that happens inside you. It's something that you choose to deal with. It's something that you do at a core level. And did you know what that does? That affects, see, a kingdom spirit is internal, but that affects what is on the outside. You see, a kingdom focus is external. In other words, as an individual, as a church, as a community, when we get hold of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we get a kingdom revelation, we take that on inside at a core level. That changes us on the inside. And how is that outworked? That is manifest on the outside because of what's gone on in the inside. In other words, our focus will change. And suddenly it's not about us, it becomes about others, it becomes about what God's doing out there, it becomes about a whole manner of things, because we have actually got hold of something that is eternal, and it has changed us internal, and it has given us an external focus. That is the truth of the kingdom of God. See, a kingdom spirit or a kingdom heart isn't about me, it's about others. It's about the stuff that matters to God. It's about bringing the culture of heaven to earth. It's about catching the spirit of heaven. It's about getting hold of it. When you're around that, when you're in around that spirit, you start to catch it. And that's where we start to get this change at a core level. Yesterday we had a working bee here, and I was painting, and I was up on one of those scissor lift things, and we've got a roller, and we're rolling paint into the roof, and it was hard work. The paint was just sucking up, and we're chatting as we're working, and I'm chatting to Swice, and Swice is telling me a few stories and some things about his life. It's all right, Swice, I'm not going to divulge everything, but what Swice told me, he was telling me about growing up in Australia in an immigrant family. And Swice's parents actually immigrated to Australia from Holland, and he said actually, essentially, I grew up in this home, and until I went to school, until I actually got out in the community, he said, I could have lived in Holland, in my home. My parents spoke Dutch, and there was Dutch culture in the house, and all that was there. But he started to talk about as he got out into the culture of Australia that he started to change. And there was something about the culture of Australia that actually became and started to define who he was. And we philosophized and we talked about waves of immigration that have come to Australia. You know, there's been European immigration, and during the 70s and 80s we had masses of people come to Australia from Vietnam. We've had Chinese immigration. We've had all sorts of people come to this great nation of Australia. But as you look back at the immigration, and something that goes on at the moment is, you know, we've had lots of immigration from the Middle East, and you read the media around Sydney, and people are fearful of certain things that are going on. But this great nation of ours has actually shown us that in generations to come, people actually take on, if you like, the culture or the spirit of our country, even though they're very proud of their heritage, even though they've got something that perhaps defines who they are, and there's something important about that, they actually catch the spirit, they catch the culture of who we are. You see, a kingdom revelation is something that is actually caught through being in the presence of God. A kingdom revelation is something that we actually get at a core level. That we've now got amazing people. You know, you've got Vietnamese people that have grown up in Australia, and they talk like you and I, and they understand our culture, and I'm sure they're very proud of their heritage. But you see, they've caught something that is about us. You see, and God wants you to catch a kingdom spirit. He actually wants you to get that at a heart or a core level. He wants you to get that at that place. It's about catching the spirit of heaven. It's about catching that. See, the devil wants to snatch that away. He wants to snatch away what has been sown in your heart. So where does he start? Where does he try to take away a kingdom revelation? Does he try to take away, you know, the results of some of the things that you're doing? Mostly it's too late. But he actually starts at a core level. He starts to challenge your heart. He wants to snatch away what has been sown in your heart. He wants to snatch away a revelation that will give you confidence at a heart level. That's why the book of Hebrews and our core verse here says, don't throw away the confidence that's been given to you. Don't throw away. Don't allow the enemy to actually snatch it away, to snatch away what has been sown where? In the heart. What has actually been sown into you at a core level. See, keeping a confident heart or a confident core that is confident in God is what is actually going to enable us to have a confident year. Listen to verse 21. And Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. And he says, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last very long. And he was talking about seeds that were sown, and some of them were actually sown out on the footpath, and they spring up very quickly, but they can't actually get their roots down to draw nourishment. So these little plants very quickly die. And he's saying, if we don't have deep roots, we're not going to last very long. Another version says, yet he has no root in himself. In other words, a man or a woman that has not got roots at a core level is not going to last very long with the kingdom revelation. And so in keeping a confident heart or a confident core, number one, develop a firm foundation. Number one, develop a firm foundation. The Bible says faith comes through hearing the word, reading the word, understanding the word. You see, you know, that's why when somebody says, hey, what about? It's interesting. I was lucky enough to grow up in a Christian family. I was lucky enough to have parents that actually brought me up with values and things like that. And I'm not sure when you actually take some of these values on at a core level. But I know that those values are often challenged. You know, when you get to school, people show you a whole lot of other things that you hadn't thought about yet, and suddenly you start to change, and suddenly, you know, you find yourself being questioned, and people say, well, what about this? What about that? You know, what about euthanasia? What about abortion? What about creation? You know, did God create the world in 7 days, and how did he put all the animals on the ark? What about? Did you know some of those things I don't actually have the answers to? I mean, I believe strongly in the sanctity of life, but people will come and they will give you a very curly situation and your heart will be moved. Does that mean that God's not true? Does that mean that the revelation that you had in your heart of God is not right anymore? Not at all. Not at all. There is stuff that we're not going to understand. There is stuff that we're never going to be able to quite work out. But if we have a kingdom revelation, if we get a kingdom heart, if we get that at a core level, we're actually able to say, well, actually, I don't quite know. I don't even understand the situation about that. But I do know that I have a revelation of the kingdom. I do know that my God loves me. I do know that He has a plan for my life. I do know that He's going to be with me. And what you're saying there is not going to rock my revelation of God. You see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to throw these things at you and he wants to snatch away the seed that have been sown. Where? At a core, at a heart level. That's where he wants to get you undone. That's where he wants to bring you undone. Some of those things, you see, I can sit there and I can have conversations about all this stuff with people, and I've certainly got strong views about some of these things, and there are things even as a Christian community that we've got to stand up for, and we've got to say, yeah, I believe this isn't right. But the complexities go on and on and on, but the revelation of God at a heart level will keep you connected to Him, even though your little mind is struggling to work out and wrestle with some of these things that are going on. We've got to have a revelation at a core level. We've got to have a kingdom revelation, not out there, but we've got to have it in here. We've got to have it right in here. We've got to have it so strong at a heart, at a core level, so that even when stuff happens in your church family, when someone offends you, when someone says something about you, when someone lets you down, even when a leader or a minister has a moral fall or something like that, that it doesn't affect your kingdom revelation of who God is. I don't make excuses for any of those things in the slightest, but what I'm saying is we're going to make sure that we don't allow that to affect our kingdom revelation at a heart, at a core level of who God is. Let's be grounded in that revelation. You know, the Bible says, guard your heart above all things, for what? It determines the course of your life. The text goes on and it says, they fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing in the Word of God. Number two, to maintain a heart, to maintain a kingdom revelation, to maintain a confident heart at a core level. Number two, we've got to expect some opposition. We've actually got to expect some opposition to come. We will get opposition. Why? It says, because we believe. Because we believe. Let's not allow a life-changing internal revelation about the kingdom. That is a revelation that's bigger than us. Something that will grow into eternal results to be snatched away because of a bit of opposition. In my teenage years, as I said, I grew up in a church. And I remember there was a couple of boys that they were twins that were a bit older than me in that church, and I looked up to these guys, and because they were in to a lot of stuff that I wanted to be into. They were into fast cars, they were into motorbikes, they were into having a lot of fun. They were into all that sort of stuff. And I used to look up to these guys, and I would take on a lot of the things that they said and some of the attitudes that they had. And they were often very cynical. They were cynical about the church. They were cynical about people in the church. They were cynical about some of the things that were doing. The only thing that they weren't cynical about actually was themselves. But they actually started to challenge. They started to challenge a lot of us in that church. They weren't theologians. They didn't come out and they didn't have conversations like, well, what do you think about euthanasia? What do you think about abortion? They just, not at all, you know. They were just talking about making their cars go faster and all this sort of stuff. But you see, the attitude, what they carried, the cynicalness of their nature actually started to challenge a lot of us. Where? At a core level. It started to change our hearts. It started to make us think, well, actually, some of these values, some of these things that I hold true are not quite so important. And actually, the opposition started to challenge what we think. You see, we've got to expect that opposition will come. And sometimes it doesn't come how you think it's going to come. Sometimes it doesn't come just when you think, oh, someone's going to, you know, ridicule you because you're a Christian. And it actually happens quite cynically. It happens where that starts to actually challenge you at a core level. That's why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of your heart flows the future of your life. And we've got to make sure, we've got to expect opposition, and we've got to be ready to guard our heart from some of that stuff. See, it doesn't mean you cut people off and you stop talking to them. Those guys I was talking about, I love those guys, but you know, there are times where you've actually got to say, there's some stuff going on here, or there's some attitudes that are starting to affect my heart, and I've got to find a way to actually guard that heart. I've got to find a way to guard what is actually happening and what is going on at that place. So let's expect opposition, and let's make sure that we guard our heart. To keep a confident heart, or a core that is confident, number three, be aware of distractions. Listen to verse 22. It says, the seed fell among the thorns that represent those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life and the lure of wealth. Be aware of distractions. Being distracted, it means that it's no longer about the kingdom. It becomes about us. You know, what I need, what I'm building. You know, my business, my kids, my leisure time, my house. Now, all those things are important. Of course, your kids are extremely important. You know, you've got to have somewhere to live. You've got to have a career. You've got to be able to make a living. Businesses are important. If we're going to be a church that impacts this city and this state, if we're going to be a church that's able to put on things like Impact Conference that actually see a kingdom heart, that's what it's all about, that see a kingdom heart across this state of Tasmania, there's resource that has to happen through that. Yeah, we need businesses. We need all those things, but it's got to come out of a kingdom spirit rather than it being about my business, my heart, my family, my leisure time, my. We've actually got to make it about the kingdom. But the thing is, even when there are good intentions, those things will actually crowd us out and start to affect us once again at a heart level. I think the place to actually check some of these things is ask yourself, how's your heart? You know, David, the guy that had the heart after God, he would actually go to God and he'd say, God, examine my heart. Find out if there's any wicked way in me. Wow. That's a big call if you want to do that. Because God's going to find something. God's actually going to point some stuff out. God's actually going to show you some things about your heart that actually need a little bit of adjustment. But I encourage you. If we're going to have a confident year, we've got to have confident hearts and a confident heart. You know how you have a confident relationship? When you don't hide stuff. When your relationship's open. Somebody's calling me. They didn't even tell me who they were. A confident heart happens when we're actually open with God. When we're able to say, God, like David did, come on, God, examine my heart. Tell me what's going on in here at a core level. You know, at an outside level, you can look in the mirror and you can see what's going on. If you want to find out how you're going financially, you know, you can look at your bank balances, you can check those things out. All these things are important. But if you want to find out how you're going at a core level, at a heart level, you've actually got to get before God and say, hey, examine my heart. Tell me what's going on here. You see, an open relationship that is confident is a relationship where you will actually allow, there's enough mutual respect that you can actually speak to one another. You know, over the years, Alex has told me about, you know, things in my life that I don't like hearing. I don't like hearing them at all. But you see, there's enough mutual respect there for us to be open and actually listen to some of those things. There are times she's actually been able to give me huge help in stuff that I do in leadership. She's been able to say, hey, Dave, you know, when you look at that from the outside, you know, when you see that the way other people see it, this is how it goes across. And now I can say to her, don't talk to me about that. That, you know, that's not right. You know, I know my heart. Or I can actually take on board because I know that there's mutual respect there. And it's the same with God. We can actually open ourselves up. And when he first shows us something, our reaction's going to be, no, God, my heart's not like that. You know, you don't know me, but he knows you. The Bible says that he knows you better than you know yourself. So let's be brave enough to open our hearts and say, God, examine my heart and help me not to be taken up with distractions. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, this is Paul writing to Timothy, but he says, in case I'm delayed, I write to you so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself. Listen to this. Conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar of support and truth. You see, to keep a confident heart or a confident core, we need to actually have a spiritual home. We need to be connected and have a spiritual home. You see, when we talk about the house of God, it's not something that we've actually just come up with in the last little while. Paul actually says it here. He says that you now ought to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar of living truth. In other words, God actually chooses to have truth actually come into our lives through what he puts in place, his church. You know, and the enemy wants to snatch that revelation away. He wants to snatch a revelation about the house of God away from you. Why is it that so many people are actually, you talk to them and say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I like the kingdom, but I don't like the church. You've all heard that, haven't you? You can't. They can't be separated. They're the same thing. Jesus actually said to Peter, he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom and I will build my church. And if we want to have a confident heart or a confident core, we want to have those spiritual roots that actually keep our heart in the right place, we've actually got to have a spiritual home. And I want to encourage you. You know, there'll be people here this morning and maybe you don't have a spiritual home, you don't have that connection. I just want to encourage you to find it, whether it's this church or whether it's another church or wherever it is, but make sure you actually find yourself in the house of God and actually able to put your heart in a place where you can actually catch the culture of the kingdom because you're around people, you're around the presence, you're around in an area where you can catch that. If the band wants to join me, please, that would be really cool. As we prepare for this year, I'm praying that it will be a confident year. Let's not allow our heart to be distracted by the worries of the world. Did you know that the worries of the world will be there? There's that, if I'm really honest, the Bible tells us not to worry. But I don't go through a week where I don't worry at some level about something. I worry, you know, I think about things that are happening in the church. I think about stuff that's happening in people's lives. I think about stuff that's going on in my own life. I think about finances. I think about a whole lot of things. And you see, and at times I do. I worry about some of those things. But keeping a confident heart is keeping a heart where the worries actually don't distract us from that, where it doesn't become all about me, but my heart continues to go back and make my heart about the kingdom of God. If we're going to have a confident year, there are going to be worries. There are going to be challenges in your family. There are going to be challenges in your workplace. There are going to be challenges in your school. There are going to be challenges in your marriage. There are going to be challenges at all sorts of levels. There are going to be things that you can worry about. There is going to be, you know, you might start to build a house or something like that, and then the builder mucks it all up, and, you know, the bank don't come through with the finance, and all the stuff that goes on, stuff that you can worry about. And I'm not saying you don't take those things seriously and deal with them, because they'll bring you undone if you don't. But what I am saying is let's not allow the distractions, the worries of the world, because they're always going to be there, to actually let the enemy snatch away an eternal revelation, which we carry internally, we carry at a heart level, we carry at a core place. Because if there's one thing the enemy wants to do, he wants to bring you down at a heart level, at a core level. He actually wants to snatch away a kingdom revelation that you carry where? That you carry in your heart. Let's not allow him to do that. Let's not allow him to do that. Let's finish like this. I love the last verse of Acts. Acts 28:31, it says, this is about Paul. It says, he was preaching the kingdom and teaching those things which concern Jesus Christ, listen, with all confidence and no man forbidding him. The Greek word for that talks about having confidence in an unshakable and an unstoppable way. In other words, there's something that actually is placed on the inside of you that no man can stop. Why could no man stop what Paul was talking about? Because he had a confident heart. He was confident in the call. He was confident in who he was in Jesus Christ. He was confident in who he was made. They could put him in jail. They could tie him up. They could do anything they liked. But it says no man could stop what God had put on his life. You know, this year, you're going to have a confident year. No man, no woman, no circumstances, no words spoken over you, no things that have happened in your past, nothing can actually stop what God is doing in your heart. Nothing can snatch away that kingdom revelation if you decide that you're going to guard your heart. Let's stand up.